This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KDNIDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, July 11th, 2025. Volunteer amateur radio operators serving the ARRL and Amateur Radio Emergency Services, ARES, are embedded with local served agencies in the areas of Central Texas affected by devastating floods. The needs and assignments have been changing, but ARES volunteers are stepping up to meet the dynamic needs of their communities. This is a very fluid situation. It changes by the hour, said ARRL South Texas District 7 Emergency Coordinator Terry Jones, K5LGV. The trained ham radio operators were activated starting on Friday, July 4th, 2025. Radio amateurs are providing communications capabilities to agencies whose primary systems were damaged in a flooding event or where they suffer poor connectivity due to the terrain. ARES members helped the American Red Cross with a setup of a reunification shelter in response to the floods. 10 hams were assigned to search and rescue teams. Dozens of health and welfare messages were passed by ham radio operators who provided a critical link when phone lines were overwhelmed. A lot of this is tied to circuit overload, preventing folks from making direct contact with family members in the area, said Kevin McCoy, KF5FUZ. During the flooding event and subsequent search and rescue missions, ARES members have been deployed to serve many different counties, including hard-hit Kerr and Kendall counties. Mutual aid has been offered between several surrounding ARRL sections. We'll have more updated information as it comes in on these Texas floods. Amateur radio operators in Puerto Rico will represent the United States in a worldwide amateur radio contest during the International Amateur Radio Union, IARU, HF World Championship. That's on July 12th to the 13th, 2025. The operators will use the American Radio Relay League ARRL headquarters station call sign W1AW/KP4. The identifier of KP4 is added to indicate the signal is being transmitted from Puerto Rico. We are very happy and honored that ARRL has given us the opportunity to use its call sign for this important contest, said Angel Santana, WP3GW, Public Information Coordinator for the ARRL Puerto Rico section and the amateur radio operator in charge of organizing the 2025 event in Puerto Rico. Although W1AW-KP4 has been used in recent years in special events, the particularity this year is that in addition to representing the United States, it takes place in the context of the founding of the IARU 100 years ago, which makes it more attractive. While we are on the air as W1AW-KP4, ARRL will use NU1AW, the official call sign of the IARU, Santana added. ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, is also the international secretariat of the IARU. The contest begins at 1200 UTC Saturday, July 12th, and runs through 1159 UTC Sunday, July 13th. Both single and multi-operator stations may operate the entire 24-hour period. For full IAR contest rules, visit ARRL.org. The numbers for 2025 ARRL Field Day continue to grow. As of today, July 10th, 3,227 entries have been received, and each day that list gets bigger. According to ARRL Contest Program Manager Paul Bork, N1SFE, get those entries in, he encouraged. The deadline is July 29th. It was a big year for ARRL Field Day on social media. 260 posts across several platforms used the hashtag ARRLFD. That doesn't even cover posts in groups or on private pages. The public post alone reached 3.5 million viewers. There was also significant growth in the news media coverage of 2025 ARRL Field Day. Using the ARRL's media monitoring suite, staff was able to track that amateur radio public information volunteers generated $37.5 million in ad value equivalence revenue year-to-date around ARRL Field Day alone. That's a metric that tracks the amount of money that would have been spent to buy advertisements that get the same number of viewers that news stories or earned media did. And that's up $18 million from 2023 and $20 million in 2024. There were 1,810 media mentions of ARRL Field Day year-to-date, a 70% increase from 2024. We're hearing from clubs that were featured in coverage that people have been calling and wanting to get into amateur radio, said ARRL Public Relations and Outreach Manager Sarah Harrop, W5DX. It shows that the outreach value of ARRL Field Day is significant. Ambrose Tripp L. Owens III, N4NTO, passed away on July 4, 2025. He was 57 years old. Investigators from the Harnett County Sheriff's Office believe the cause of death was an accidental electrocution, but a final determination has not yet been made. Owens was working with an antenna mast in the Chicoa Civil War Cemetery during a Parks on the Air POTA activation in North Carolina. He was an avid participant with POTA, activating over 660 parts. He was an ARRL member and a member of the Potomac Valley Radio Club. He held an amateur extra class license and earned his first amateur radio license in 1985 when he was just 13 years old. Many condolences have been posted on social media. He was a great CW op, and I had many POTA QSOs with him, said Thomas Court, VA2NW. Services were scheduled for July 10th at the Calvary Episcopal Church in Tarboro, North Carolina. Don Lynn Jr., ND7L of Nampa, Idaho, has been appointed section manager of the ARRL Idaho section. Lynn has served as the assistant section manager since 2019 and the state government liaison since 2020. He is an ARRL Life member. He will serve the remainder of a term expiring September 30th, 2026. He replaces Don Marler, K7REX, who resigned from the position due to health issues. Marler had served in that role since 2019. The ARRL Field Organization is the grassroots core that makes up the 60,000 volunteers among ARRL membership. It's divided into 71 sections. Each section is led by a volunteer section manager who is nominated and voted on by members of that section. Section managers serve two-year terms. Michael Dean, K5MFD, ARR Oklahoma Section Public Information Coordinator, passed away on July 7, 2025. He was 77 years old. Dean was first licensed as a technician in 1991 and upgraded to a general license class in 2010. He served as a public information officer since 2013 and a section public information coordinator from 2014 to 2016 and since 2019. He was also the section state government liaison since 2016. Dean was well known as the University of Oklahoma Sooners radio engineer and producer for the OU football and basketball teams. He was also known for his unmistakable and iconic voice and storytelling. Dean worked as a historian of everything and served in the U.S. Army Reserve and as a United States Marine. Funeral service will be held on Saturday, July 12, 2025 at 10 a.m. at the Edmond Church of Christ in Edmond, Oklahoma. Masayoshi Ibisawa, known as Mashi, JA1DM, longtime DXer, DXCC card checker, CQDX Hall of Famer member, friend of ARRL, and former director of the Japanese Amateur Radio League, JARL, passed away in March 2025. He was 92 years old and for many years performed work on behalf of the DXers in Japan and elsewhere, and through his efforts leading the DXCC card checking group for ARRL and JARL. He sought out and trained card checkers, organized sessions, trained volunteers, and arranged for QSO card checking at JARL HQ and at the large Tokyo Ham Fair events every August. He wrote a book simply titled The DX Century Club Award, DXCC for Japanese Hams, which explained DXing, QSLing, and the logbook of the world in simple terms with lots of pictures. One of Mass's fondest milestones was being inducted into the CQDX Hall of Fame in 2025 at the DX Banquet at Dayton. Massa made numerous trips to the Dayton Hamvention as representatives of the JARL and a partner of ARRL. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here now with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. This week, of the Tevel 2 family of satellites, number 3 is active. However, there appears to be some distortion. They are working on fixing it. It could be the uplink needs to be adjusted by 5 kHz or so, or an issue with the squelch. The uplink is supposed to be 145.970 MHz, and the downlink is 436.400 MHz, both FM. Hopefully, after this satellite is working properly, the other Tevel 2 family satellites will be activated. There are 9 of them, and they all have the same up and down links. The only way you will know which one you are working is by where your antenna is pointing. ARRL Logbook of the World is back online at its new cloud server. Be sure you keep your ARRL trusted QSL or TQSL program updated. When new satellites get their OSCAR number, you need to do the update for the program to recognize the contacts. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
And thanks, Bruce, for that report. Youth on the Air Yoda Camp Jr. is set to debut July 25th through the 27th, 2025, at the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester. That's near Cincinnati, Ohio. The camp is a sub-regional 3-day version of the Yoda region-wide camps. Campers will experience similar activities as the region-wide camps, but on a smaller scale. The camp will also focus on building strong relationships with peers, mentors, and parents while developing new and refining old skills. Yoda Jr. in the Americas is closely modeled after the Kids on the Air program in IARU Region 1. Campers, all of whom are licensed amateur radio operators under the age of 15, will also have the chance to operate special event station W8Y, featuring cutting-edge HF and VHF-UHF radios that may only dream of having a chance to be used, and a wide variety of antennas. The Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA, is located at the museum and is a division of the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. The Amateur Radio Club at the National Electronics Museum will operate special event station W3A, commemorating the live TV from the moon that allowed the world to see mankind's first steps on the lunar surface. The event will take place July 18th through the 21st, 1300 Zulu to 2200 Zulu, on 14.269, 14.069, 7.269, and 7.069 megahertz. Operation on 80 meters, 3.869 and 3.569, and digital modes are also possible during the event. Frequencies are plus and minus according to QRM. QSL and certificate is available via a self-addressed and envelope. Details at ww-2.us. Just ahead in radio sport this week, a lot of great contests. On July 11th, it's the QRP Fox Hunt, that's CW, and the NCCC FT4 Sprint, that's digital. July 12th to the 13th, the IARU HF World Championship, CW and phone. July 14th, the Four States QRP Group Second Sunday Sprint, CW and phone. July 15th, the ICWC Medium Speed Test, that's CW. And July 16th, the RSGB 80 Meter Club Championship, single sideband and phone. And July 18th, the NCCC FT4 Sprint Digital. And remember to visit the ARRL contest calendar for more events and information. Upcoming section, state, and division conventions on July 12th. It's the Story Valley Amateur Radio Club Hamfest hosting the ARRL North Dakota Section Convention. July 13th, the Suckett, New Jersey Hamfest hosting the ARRL Hudson Division Convention. July 26th, the ARRL West Virginia State Convention and Hamfest. That's in Sutton, West Virginia. And on August 2nd, the ARRL Maine State Convention and Hamfest. That's in Augusta, Maine. And finally this week, thanks to the Catalina Amateur Repeater Association in Los Angeles, California, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL audio news for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL audio news is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.